You're listening to Packers Talk Network. PackersTalk.com.
Welcome to the Packers Weekly Podcast, part of PackersTalk.com Network. I'm your host, Miles Tettig, joined by your co-host, Tim Hamilton. We are diehard Packers fans, just love talking about the Pack. We are not getting distracted by all the nonsense in the national sports media. We are talking Pack, diving into the top topics around the Pack every week, breaking down games during the season and sorting through all of the drama, rumors, and the drafts of the offseason. If y'all want to support the podcast, please spike that like button for us. But most importantly, jump on over to the Packers Talk Network YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button. Takes you a matter of seconds, matter of clicks. It's a very quick operation. You can do it right now and you won't miss a thing. But it certainly helps us greatly. We love all of our subscribers, all y'all joining us every Monday night, 9:30 p.m. Central, streaming live, talking Pack. And we're having fun while we do it, you know? And winning's winning. So we're going to have fun talking about that. But there might be less fun things to talk about in a win. It's not a perfect win. Certainly wasn't. And right now, it's, you know, there's some turbulence in the season. Plenty of things to dive into. But it's a win. We've got a win to talk about. We've got a running back running out of his mind right now. We've got a rookie receiver who might have some things to say about how the season goes from here. But of course, first, we do need to take care of some business. Our show is once again sponsored by Wisconsin's own Ticket King. For over 30 years, Ticket King has been providing Packers tickets to Packers fans, as well as Bucks tickets, Brewers tickets, all the tickets you could possibly need. Find them on the web at theticketking.com. Visit their locations in Green Bay and Milwaukee. Remember, support all of your local businesses, Wisconsin or otherwise. All of them, support local. Good evening, Tim. How are we doing, sir?
Good evening, Miles. I guess I'm doing a lot better than most Packers fans seem to be doing after yesterday's win over the Bengals. I'm feeling pretty good. They won a football game. I don't know, but if you look on Packers Twitter, and it seems like they lost, you know.
Yeah, the comments section's off to a hot starter.
Yeah, I saw that too. I'm feeling pretty good. They won a game, and it's hard to win in the NFL. I know that's cliche, but it really is, and I'll take it for early to mid-October. Like, I don't want them playing their best football right now, and they have a lot they need to clean up, and I wish they could get it together a little more, but they won. It was a game that I never really felt nervous, was in doubt or anything like that. Coming off the last two games, a loss and a tie, I'll take a win any way you can get it. Just get the wins and build and get better as the year goes on. And I'm looking around the NFL at every other team in the seasons, you know, like what people are, there's nobody that's undefeated. Everybody but the Jets have won a game. And some of these teams that we all think are really good, they're losing or playing very close games against some teams that we know aren't very good. So the fact the Packers could get a win, it was ugly, but I think it was also kind of a weird game, especially how the second half played out with the lack of possessions. I'm fine with it. Like, yeah, I don't want them to be doing this all season. You want to start kicking some ass and playing a complete game, hopefully. But at this point, I'll take the win and we'll keep building on it. And I don't know. I don't have that much of a problem with it. Like, apparently a lot of Packers fans do. I fully recognize there's a lot of things they need to clean up and get better at. A lot of improvement out there, but I don't know. I'm feeling good that they got the win.
I mean, I don't want to talk anybody out of feeling good that they got the win. If you're a Packers fan, you should feel good that they got the win. That's like the saving grace of all of this. But how they got there is less than acceptable, I think. You know, and it took me a while to chew on this, because usually I would be the first one to jump in and be like, LaFleur's got one of the best win percentages ever, you know, and let's talk about the things that he's done well. But I'm not happy with him right now. I'm not happy with his decision-making. And it looks like R. Showers agrees about that. I think his decision-making is poor in some ways. in other ways, it's been good. I mean, the guy found and hired Jeff Hafley. Great decision. He's made plenty of other great decisions. We've seen some great play calling from him. But right now, it just feels like things are being made harder than they should be. And I detect no killer instinct on this team. There's a couple of exceptions. I should say, let me retract. No, I shouldn't say no killer. There's a few who have killer instinct. Josh Jacobs has a killer instinct. That guy is, in my opinion, the MVP of the team right now. But it's still, you can't help but look at this and go, how are you competing with the Bengals? How are you competing with a Joe Burrowless Bengals? Why is this even a competition right now? And yes, I know it. I sound like a spoiled fan. Totally get it. But here's where, you know, I had to chew on this for a little bit, and I had to figure out, like, how do I articulate the issue here? Because you get in the game, you watch the game, you get frustrated, and, you know, you go live tweet things that you probably don't mean. I'm guilty of that. I think at one point I did say, you know, I bought it, but I'm okay with thinking about firing the floor. It's just so infuriating sometimes mid-game. Do I want to fire the floor right now? No, I don't want to. That would be silly. But I can't help but sit here and think, like, what? How do I explain this? And I finally got it. If you're driving a Ferrari, you're not okay with just beating a Corolla. You know, like, you're driving a Ferrari to drive a Ferrari. You know, I'm going to go rev my engine. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to go find a worthy adversary. We're going to race. That's the mentality I have with Ferrari. I don't have a great time, you know, competing with the minivan off the red light. Like, that to me bothers me. I'm in a Ferrari, for crying out loud. And I think the front office has said, hey, this is Ferrari. We're going to go get the extra piece of this Ferrari from Micah Parsons, but we got something here. Fans, I think, feel that way. I think we feel like we got a Ferrari. Quarterback, yeah. Weapons galore. We got Micah Parsons. We got everything, man. And yet, here we are competing with the daggum Bengals, man. Like, it doesn't sit right. And it's October. There's a lot of things to explain this way. Hey, man, you know, you don't want to peak right now. You're right. I just can't help but watch and go, there's more here. There's more on this bone, and I want it, and you're not letting me have it. And that's what it feels like. But I feel like we're getting closer and closer to it, which makes me feel better. So I'll kind of end the rant with, I'm not happy with how this is going, but there are rays of light that make me go, I think we're headed in a good direction. You know, Josh Jacobs being one of them. Matthew Golden, obviously. Great game by him. Can't wait to see more of Matthew Golden. And then Christian Watson coming back maybe this week. We don't know. We'll find out. There are things, you know, and then there's some bright spots on the defense. And you can't just hit the panic button because here's where I want to bring myself back to earth. LaFleur has a uniquely difficult leadership challenge right now. And it's not unlike the why is his name escaping me? Our former defensive coordinator, Joe Barry. It's not unlike the Joe Barry situation because I think he understands that changes need to be made, but we've already decided we're not going to do that midseason. Okay, we'll roll with it. Well, not only do you need to compensate for maybe some coaching shortcomings somewhere or leadership shortcomings, but you need to balance egos. There's lots of these egos starting to develop on this team. And I'm not saying like in a bad way, but it still requires balance, right? Like you've got Micah Parsons coming in and, you know, disrupting in a good way, the balance on a defensive line that includes a lot of first round picks, guys that expect playing time, you know, stuff like that. Yet there's just a lot. There's a lot to balance. And it's not to say that there's any excuses built in there, but it is a tough challenge. So give him that and grant that takes time. We've seen him do it. You know, we've seen him go through some turbulence and then come out and correct things and actually go on a run, right? We saw that in 23. So I just wanted to kind of like give both sides a little bit of their due here. Like, if you're a Packers fan watching this and you're very frustrated, I think you're justified in your frustration. But if you're the Packers fan who's also saying, hey, we're what, 3-1-1? You know, mm-hmm. we're at the top of the division. You know, we're all the positive things. You're right too, right? Like, that's, I don't want to take that away either. But it's still frustrating. It's frustrating to watch these things. And I don't think it's because you expect perfection. You just expect more. Is that fair?
I get it. I do. And I get that people are frustrated. But I think, so let's go back. If this game in particular, I don't really have much I can pick on LaFleur about. Like the Dallas game, the Cleveland game, sure. This one, yeah, there's a couple play calls. I didn't like the throw at the end of the game and they should have just ran it to Jacobs, tried to get the first down, 3rd and 2 there. I didn't like trying to be cute and get the ball to Bo Melton on offense.
Don't like that.
I don't like, but that's about it. If you're going to be an upset with a coach in this game, it's Jeff Hafley. Because what Joe Flacco did to them in the second half was pretty similar to what Dak Prescott did to them. Now, Ja'Marr Chase made some incredible plays. And
very true.
That's going to happen. Keyshawn Nixon was covering him. Like, he just made great plays. He's a great receiver. Like, that's going to happen. Like, I can't fault too much there. But if you're going to pick on somebody, it should be Hafley. Now, Hafley did get more aggressive. He sent a lot of blitzes. They just weren't getting there in time because Flacco was getting rid of the ball so quickly. But Hafley needs to see how teams are attacking him now because that Prescott did it, Flacco did it. I'm sure, you know, the Cardinals are coming up. The Steelers have a veteran quarterback. They're going to try to attack him the same way, which is quick passes, get the ball out before that pass rush can get there. And the pass rush is still pretty good. Micah Parsons, I know, is getting some heat because he only has, what, 2 sacks or 1.5 sacks. The dude's winning a lot. I mean, he's getting double teamed a ton. Quarterbacks are just getting it out, and Micah Parsons is getting held a lot, and it's not getting called. Hopefully, he'll start getting some flags. But so Hafley needs to adjust to the quick passing game and figure some things out. And I think he tried to do that. They seem to play more man in the second half. They blitz more. Not every team's going to have Ja'Marr Chase. I don't have a big problem with LaFleur in this game, and I understand, like, yeah, the Cleveland game, the Dallas game, he's made mistakes, and I haven't been happy with those games this year. But this one's not one where I'm going to kill. The killer instinct thing, like, I have a hard problem with that because I think the Detroit game, they had a killer instinct. And Washington, they did. So, like,
but where did it go?
It,
you know? Like, why don't it?
You're not going to kill every team. Like, this isn't college football. You're not playing the Badgers every week. You're not going to kill every team every week. Like, it's tough. And I say look around the league too. Like, everybody, Buffalo, right? Everybody's Buffalo Bills. They survived the Saints. They survived the Dolphins. Now they've lost to the Patriots and the Falcons, right? Tampa Bay, everybody's talking up. Baker Mayfield's the MVP. They're giving the MVP. They're winning every game close. Like, they had to beat the Jets on the last second field goal. The Jets are a dumpster fire. They're the only team that hasn't won a game. The Eagles, defending champs, they're playing, you know, they've lost to the Giants and the Broncos, and their offense looks pretty bad. There's not a really good team. The Chiefs are, what, 3-3. There's not a really good team. Like, there's a lot of ugly. There's a lot of close games. There's a lot of last-second victories, right? And I don't think there's a whole lot, like, separating a, you know, a first-place team from a last-place team. So we're seeing a lot of these games that you're like, oh, this should be a blowout. And I'm not even talking Packers games, and they're closer games. And I just think that's just the way the league is right now. I think as the season goes on, we're going to see more separation with these teams and we will see more blowouts, but it's tough to do that. And I think Packers fans expect that week after week. We see the Browns on the schedule. Oh, the Browns stink. We see the Cowboys. Oh, Cowboys defense is awful. And CeeDee Lamb's not there. We should blow them out. We should blow the Bengals out. And I get that mentality, but it's not that easy to do for anybody. And yeah, you would like to see one of those games, the Packers just roll. But does that mean, like, they're a really good team if they go out there and they, you know, they blow out the Bengals? No, it doesn't mean they're a really good team.
Like, that's a great point.
They went out there.
We don't get to sit here and talk about how great of a team they are if they roll the Bengals. That's a very good point.
Right. Like, look at last season. they beat the Dolphins pretty good. They beat the Seahawks pretty good. Like, but then when they played the really good teams, they lost. So, like, did that really mean anything? No. And if you want, like, more of a Packers perspective, go back to our last Super Bowl team. Like, they lost to a Washington team that wasn't that good. They lost to a Lions team that stunk.
I think the Dolphins, too.
The Dolphins they lost to. Like, they didn't get it rolling until late in the year. And then they started – then they were good. Look at last year's two Super Bowl teams. The Eagles were 2-2 going into their bye week, similar to the Packers, who were 2-1-1. There are a lot of questions. I live near Philadelphia. There were a lot of questions about that team, right? They were firing the head coach, and then they come out of the bye, and they lose one game the rest of the year and win the Super Bowl. Like, and the Chiefs played 10 or 11 one-score games last year. They just happened to win them all. But they won ugly all year. They won ugly a lot the year before.
Yes.
But they won those games. Like, there was nothing pretty about the Chiefs the last couple of years, but they went to two Super Bowls, and they won one. Do you think their fans are sitting there like, geez, they should have blown some teams out? They're saying, damn, we won a Super Bowl and we got to another one and we're still the Chiefs. Like, they don't care. Just win.
Well, and to be fair, they're seeing that it worked, right? You know, we're sitting here without the benefit of knowing that, hey, our coach 100%. And quarterback can go off and win a Super Bowl even with ugly football. But, yeah, I mean, 100%. You're right.
It's got to work.
Let's just take a look this week. I'll go back to you. Just wanted to divert attention this week to some of these other games, and let's throw some perspective here at Packers fans, right? So, you know, we just saw the Falcons beat the Bills. I think that's a bit of a shocker. You know, that you got the Giants absolutely whooping the Eagles. I'm sure Eagles fans don't feel great about that. The Broncos damn near losing to the Jets, and the again. Sure, Broncos fans not feeling great about that. Colts getting taken down to the wire by the Cardinals.
With a backup quarterback,
right? So, like, brace yourselves, Packers fans. Colts are a pretty dang good team. They're 5-1, man.
Hopefully the Colts won't trade for Joe Flacco this week.
Yeah. Right. But so, to be fair, and you know, again, the next one, I'm like, you got the Chargers and the Dolphins. The Chargers damn near lose to the 1-5 Dolphins. You got close football all around. You got the Cowboys losing to the Panthers. You know, there's all sorts of things that you can point to here. But I think as Packers fans, we do look at things in a little bit of a vacuum. You know, we watch these games, and again, we think we're riding in a Ferrari, right? And it's like, why is this minivan next to me hanging out? Like, I should be blowing the wheels off of this thing.
And a few years ago, I was like a lot of Packers fans, where that game would have pissed me off to the point where I almost would have felt like a lot, and I would have been so angry about it. And I'm glad that, like, over time I've learned to, like, look at the bigger picture, I guess, maybe. And again, I'm emotional when I'm watching the games and stuff like that, and I don't always have, you know, a great perspective on things, but, like, it's a long season and, like, stuff happens. I guarantee, like, we're gonna get to the end of the season, when whatever their season that ends up being, we're gonna forget this game. I'm telling you. Like, you just gotta win. And yeah, you and keep building it, and you want to be a better team in December, January, February. Like, right now, just get the wins. And it's ugly. And I think a lot of these teams are still figuring out who they are. And it goes back to, there's not a lot of teams play players in the preseason. They've cut down so much on the offseason stuff. Like, this is, like, I think at least September football is almost like your players are trying to get it. Like, get into it, get into the flow. It's almost like preseason, right? But it counts. And I think teams are really trying to figure themselves out. And it's such a tight league right now where you just don't see that separation. I know we're looking at it, like, from a Packers perspective, and we want to kill every team. And believe me, I totally get it. And there's things I'm frustrated about with this team, and I know they need to change, but I don't think it's as bad as people are making it sound. And when you really look around the NFL, look at our division. Like, the Lions just got beat pretty bad by the Chiefs. And I know the Chiefs are probably a good team and better with them, what their record says, but we took the Lions in week one and won that game pretty easily. Like, are we supposed to be scared of them?
Like, the Bears are on the ropes with the Commanders right now. So,
right. We know we're not scared of them, and we're not scared like of the bite. Like, and you look around the conference, and yeah, I think there's going to be some teams that are good, but everybody has flaws. And even some of the good teams have big flaws, right? Like, and again, I'll go, like Tampa, everybody's talking of Tampa, and Baker's playing out of his mind, and he keeps losing his receivers, and he's still producing. Their defense isn't that good. And we've never really seen Baker do it in the playoffs, right? Like, can he do it? Like, I don't know. And the Eagles are defending champs, but boy, they got an unhappy offensive locker room. They're not playing good offensive football. Even the defense has been a little leaky. Like, there's a lot of questions there. So, like, is there a team in the NFC that right now you're really scared about? No. Who would that be? But in December, there might be. Like, things are going to change.
Teams go on runs. Guys get hot.
Yeah.
Running backs tend to do better as the season goes on, too. So, you know, anybody writing guys off.
Yeah. And I'm not saying to write those teams off. Things are going to change and all that. Guys are going to, you know, teams are going to get healthier. Or some teams are going to not get healthier. They're going to keep losing guys. Look what's happening in the 49ers. But, like, where the Packers are right now today looking at it, I mean, they're in a pretty good spot if you compare it to everyone else. Like, yeah, I would love for them to be undefeated and be beating teams by 30 points, but, like, that's not realistic in the NFL. They're not, you know, it doesn't happen. I mentioned the 2010 team. You can go back to the 96 team, and they had a lot of blowouts, but they had a lot of games where it was close games at the half. And then the second half, they came out, and they would pull away, they get some takeaways, whatever, and, like, it would look better, but I don't know. In yesterday's game, like, the defense looked great in the first half. The offense was moving the ball. They just weren't finishing. There was a terrible interception. There wasn't an interception. It looks a little different at the half. And then the second half, the defense couldn't get a stop, but the offense couldn't be stopped. So that's a really good sign. And I think that 10-minute drive by the Bengals to open a second half kind of, like, threw things off because, yeah, they scored, and then it limits your possessions the rest of the way. Yeah. But the offense played great. And hell, they signed a kicker the day before the game, and he did a great job. Like, special teams, you got to give special teams right. So, like, it was a weird game, and yes, it was an ugly game, and they got to put it all together and play a complete game. I 100% agree with that, but, like, I want them playing complete games December, January, and February. I don't care if they so much do it in October. It'd be great to beat the Bengals by 30 points. But they won, and they won to me. I know some people in the comments were saying it could have, you know, gone either way. It was a close, like, I don't think it was ever really that in doubt. And when it kind of got close, Jordan Love made a great play to Matthew Golden to put it away. Like, I don't know. Like, you got to win games like that. Every team every year is going to have games. Every team every year that goes somewhere and wins games is going to have games like that.
Absolutely. And so let me throw that counter perspective in there a little bit more. You know, I think one of the reasons that you get, at least I get upset as a Packers fan, maybe others would agree with this, when you see the team playing down to opponents a lot, or, you know, we've got R. Shower says that the game cannot be in doubt like that in our own house coming off a bye.
I feel that.
But you have to look at the rest of the league and see what's going on. I think the real sign is that you didn't lose that game, right? And that may sound kind of, you know, lame, but you're looking again at an Eagles team that goes off and gets whooped by a Giants team. It's not very good. You know, like, they're all right. They're like, I guess Jackson Dart's coming around, Scatabo's coming around. Sure. Not bad, but I mean, those are Super Bowl champions that just worked to the tune of 17 points. Like, that's okay. Like that. So you can look around. You didn't lose that game. It was ugly. But what you worry about in terms of playing down to competition or, you know, stinking after a bye is what that will mean in the future. Is that an indication of how you're going to perform when it matters more? Right. Okay. Well, this was against the Bengals. Not a big deal. Bad team. You can play bad and still win. But what happens when you play insert good team? We've already played insert two good teams, right? And the Cowboys ain't bad, right? Like, I know they just lost to the Panthers, but I think we're looking at a situation where the Panthers might not be so bad either. So let's let football play out. But point being is you haven't only beaten slouches in this season. You've got good wins on the board already.
And you can't say they're playing down to teams when they also played up to the Lions, who I think are a pretty good team.
I think they played down to the Browns and down to the Cowboys. I think the defense played excellent against the Browns.
Their offensive line.
Give up 13 points, that's fine. The Packers should have been able to put more than 10 on the Browns.
They should have, but their offensive line was ravaged, and they couldn't block anybody in the Browns game. I don't think that's playing that. But like they played up against the line. So
that's where I would say is, like, last season the concerns I think were more valid because you were picking on the weak a little bit, and then when you were tested by the big boys, you couldn't hang. And that's a big concern. That's a huge concern. Now, I get it. I understand the call out of the toughness of the team. You know, our showers was honestly, we lacked toughness, edge, urgency, accountability. The penalties were pretty soft. I feel that more last season than this season. I'm not going to say that they're not soft. There's definitely a lacking of a certain, like I said, killer instinct is kind of my thing. But I think there are guys in there, Josh Jacobs, Tucker Kraft, even Micah Parsons, Xavier McKinney, probably Coop, Quay Walker. I think those are all tough individuals. Like, I don't think you can make any mistake about it. Like, those dudes are tough. I think that they're tough by example. They're tough in a way that you can't argue with. And when you have those guys in there, that will eventually be contagious. I think right now what's happening is there's a little bit of a search for some identity. You do have to go through some adversity to find that a little bit, but I don't think we lack toughness in a way that the Packers lacked toughness last season, if that's fair to say. But they do need to be tougher right now. They need to get tougher, and I think they can. Like I said, you've got those guys in there, and there's some others that I would say are pretty tough too. But I think you, based on those guys alone, the contagiousness of toughness that'll happen. Like, You'll have others feeding off of that, especially as the season goes on. But, you know, the Chris the Casual In, I think he had the question about the bye week. You know, that's the one that to me is a little bit more concerning. You know, why does MLF always suck after the bye week? It's always like when you have extra time to prepare is when you should look sharp, you know, and that's more of a concern to me than anything else. But we can say, after that, he's looked pretty dang good. You know, that week immediately after the bye has not always been great. After that, has actually done pretty well. So I wouldn't read too much into this. And again, with the other games gone, the way that they have, again, the Eagles losing to the Giants and so on, so on. You won this game. You didn't lose this game. You didn't tie this game. You won it. You know, the context matters, but other context doesn't. You know, and so at the end of the day, it's a W. There's no doubt about that. That's not going away. And there were good things to take out of the W, which, you know, I think that this team is going to build on, right? Josh Jacobs running the way he did, you know, it's toughness. Like, that is toughness. Like, you as a teammate, you see that guy running the way he did, you just don't want to let him down. Other guys work harder when they see that. So he's right now my MVP of the team, but I think everybody enjoyed Matthew Golden coming out and getting, you know, what did he have? 3 catches, 86 yards. He just looked good, man. He looked good. He looked fast. He looked hard to cover. I think he's getting more comfortable with his own style and in the pros and going against these guys. And I can't wait to see more of him. And I think we will. But you know, there's a lot here. You know, the defense is playing well. The defense is playing well. Yeah, I think I'm confused by what's going on with the defense, because you've got the least. I think you've got the best run defense in the league right now. You've got the least amount of big plays given up last week. I think the biggest play that they had was like 19 yards. So there's a lot of ways you're playing really well on defense, but then you've got Micah Parsons and you're not getting sacks, and you've got Xavier McKinney and you're not getting turnovers. You know, so where are the sacks and the turnovers? That's my I'm not even like mad or frustrated. I'm confused. I don't understand.
Yeah. The lack of turnovers is the one to me where it's like, I don't know.
I don't understand.
They're not even really coming close. It was such an emphasis. Like, they had the emphasis in training camp with the ball coach or whatever they were calling them, trying to, you know, they're going to force more fumbles at this point, and like they haven't forced a fumble yet. They're just not getting it. And I keep thinking it's coming because they are getting a pass rush. Yes, I know they don't have a ton of sacks, but I think that's more strategy wise and that they've seen teams are saying like, we got to get the ball out quick because the rush is getting there. They are getting pressures. They are affecting the quarterback. So you think like, as you do that, you're speeding the quarterback up. You're going to have chances for interceptions or you're going to hit him. He's going to fumble. I keep thinking and hoping that the takeaways are going to come. They just aren't right now. I don't know, but I also think it's still a good sign that they've mostly played good defense. I'm concerned about the defense the second half in Dallas, the second half against the Bengals, but they mostly played good defense without relying on takeaways because we've seen so many teams in the past, not just Packers teams, but around the NFL where like they get a lot of takeaways. You think they're a really good defense, but it's like they're so takeaway dependent that when those dry up, they're not that good. So like they're a good defense without all those takeaways. If they start getting them, it's going to be huge. Out. Yes. I think the problem, my concern with, and I just mentioned it, was like the way they played in the second half of the last two games with this quick passing game, get the ball out of the quarterback's hands underneath. I don't know if it's an issue with they have to sync up how their front is playing it and how their cornerbacks are playing it, because it just seems like they're getting pressure, they're getting close. You know, Parsons is in there, whether he's getting held or not. They're getting a pass rush, but then the ball's coming out so quickly. It's like their cornerbacks have to start sitting, I think, a little more in these routes and playing a little tighter coverage because they don't have to run down the field. Like the Packers are not giving up explosive plays for the most part. You got to figure out a way to, you know, counteract what these teams are doing in the quick passing game. I think there's ways to do that, absolutely. But it's been eye-opening the last 2 weeks, and the fact that like the Bengals and the Cowboys have moved the ball so well in the second half against them. So Affleck's going to have to figure things out because that's something going forward that they're going to have to fix. And they have some veteran quarterbacks coming up that are going to be looking at the film and they're going to do the same thing. So right. How do the Packers adjust to that? That's my concern defensively. And I think offensively, they were so good in the second half, and they were really good in the second half against Dallas in overtime when they needed to be. It's there. They're close. I go back to the offensive line. All the injuries, they haven't played well. They got better in the Bengals game. They didn't start off so good in pass protection. As the game went on, and yeah, it helped that Trey Hendrickson dropped out with an injury, but the pass protection got better. The run blocking got better. You started, you know, Jacobs was running the ball well, catching the ball well out of the backfield. It's just they're close on offense. I think they got to get the offensive line healthy and who their best five are, and it sure looks like Jordan Morgan's going to be the right guard because he started. It was a rotation early, and then I think Sean Ryan only got a series or two, and then it was all Jordan Morgan. He seemed like he played pretty well for him. So it might very well be his job. But, you know, Tom's playing injured. Rasheed Walker's playing injured. Aaron Banks is playing injured. But I don't know when those guys get healthy, but hopefully as the season goes on, they can get that. And that's going to help the offense a lot.
Big time.
Wicks got hurt. It doesn't seem like it's that serious. I don't know what his status is going to be for the Cardinals game, but Watson's coming back at some point, maybe this week, maybe the following week. It's going to be soon. We've talked about that last week a lot, what he can do for the offense. Reed will be back at some point in November. They're close. Jordan Love's playing really well. Yes, he made a terrible decision and a terrible throw on the interception. That can't happen, but he's playing really well. I think it starts up front. If they can get some help and continuity up front, then you're going to see what their offense can do. So, like, it's there. There's definitely things to clean up, but they're not far off.
No, I don't think so. I think that's part of what's so frustrating. You know, and
maybe we want it now.
Yeah, of course we do. And we partially have to keep in mind where we've come from. Guys really aren't running wrong routes anymore. They don't look confused, right? Drops are, you know, knock on wood, haven't been an issue so far this season. So there's a lot of things that have improved season over season, and you've got to acknowledge that, you know. And again, it's October, right? Nobody wants to peak in October. It's not winning any Super Bowls. I think what you got to look at, if you're going to look at things like playing down to an opponent as a sign of future issues or, you know, future losing in the playoffs, whatever it may be, you've got to at least be willing to acknowledge the other things that might be future indicators that are positive. So, you know, the playing field's pretty level right now across the league. There's no juggernauts, nobody we're worried about. Right now, the Packers are running the ball very effectively, which is something that is, you know, common amongst Super Bowl winners. They're also stopping the run very effectively, also common among Super Bowl winners. You've got a quarterback that you trust, and I think that that is developing as far as the coach's trust of the quarterback or in the quarterback. But he's playing good ball right now. Another thing that's common among Super Bowl winners. You know, the only thing that you're really lacking is like some strong DBs, right? If, you know, you don't have that top-notch CB1 guy, but your corners aren't playing bad. You know, you. Here's the thing. We'll probably get more data about this as the season goes on. I've got a hunch Flacco's going to figure out how to get Jamar Chase the ball, right? That offense isn't going to stay stagnant. Flacco's not necessarily Aaron Rodgers, but he can still get the ball to a guy who knows what to do with it.
They're going to upset a team or two at some point this year.
Yeah.
Like, a team that'll be in the playoffs. They're going to pull a couple upsets. Now, I don't think they're going to be that good, but they're going to beat some teams.
And our guys didn't shut them down completely, but they played pretty respectably against one of the best, if arguably the best receiver in the game right now. So I think that we need to look at these things and be like, okay, well, look, what the totality of the work, you know, what are the future indicators like? Well, those are very good signs. Strong run game, strong defense. You've got an elite pass rusher. You've got a quarterback that you trust who might also be elite. And really what you need is the offensive line to get healthy and things to get in the rhythm. You need to get guys in a rhythm. You need to get more of a rhythm in your play calling and your planning and your strategizing. And that can happen very quickly, right? That can happen in a game. So I guess put the panic button away, right? We all know that we want Richie B fired. We get it. They're not going to fire him in the season, so we might as well not wear out that line. Save that for the offseason. And there might be a club that wants Stanovich gone too. I'll join that one. But point being is you got who you've got right now in this season, and I think that the Packers are pretty happy about it. I don't think there's any reason to believe that things are going to stay stagnant. Right. So if there is an issue right now, I don't think it's going to stay the same. You're going to get Christian Watson back at some point. That is going to change LaFleur's play calling. Guarantee it. And we've seen it before when he's gone out and come back. It's a different offense. So there are things that are going to change this thing. Opponents are going to change. You know, Micah Parsons could get hot. You could have a 3-sack game at any moment. You know, Matthew Golden could have a 3-touchdown game at any moment. You know, so there's a lot of reasons to be excited about all this kind of stuff. And again, as the offensive line gets more healthy, that will improve. That's the rising tide that lifts all ships at that point. That will improve the entire offense. It'll give Jordan Love more time. It'll give Josh Jacobs more space. I mean, all of that improves as the O-line gets healthier and more stable. So a lot of needles pointing up right now, a lot of arrows pointing up. So what do we think, man? Like, how worried are we here about this Cardinals game? Not score prediction, excuse me. Another ugly game against the Cardinals, or do you think that they maybe get things looking a little bit better? What do you think?
I think it's more likely to be another closer ugly game that people are going to be upset about.
Specifically, it's going to be ugly, so you will be upset.
Yeah, and it's not going to matter whether they win or lose. It's just going to be – everybody's going to be pissed because they didn't – they're not going to beat the Cardinals by 30 or 40 points. It's not going to happen. So, look, it's going to take time for it all to come together. Like, it's there. It's close. Like, you can see the potential for it, but it takes time. And let this team grow and hope that as the year goes on, more things start to fall into place and click for them. The Cardinals are 2-4. They're not – playing very well, but if you kind of like look below the surface, they've played a lot of close games, including against the Colts. And you know, the Colts are leading their division. They're
an impressive team. They're 5-1.
Yeah, they are. I'm not quite a believer yet, but I mean, they're 5-1. Like, 5-1 is 5-1. And the Cardinals with a backup quarterback, and yes, Jacoby Brissett's been around for a while, so he's a veteran and stuff, but they had a lead in the fourth quarter in that game. And it was 31-27. They had the ball inside the 10, and incomplete pass ended the game. Like, they were close to winning that game on the road with the backup quarterback. They lost the week before to Tennessee, who's terrible. I think it was the week before, maybe it was 2 weeks ago. But
yeah,
they
lost was the week before. So
right,
with the, it gives you an example of how the range goes there. I mean, you go from right. losing to probably the worst team in the league right now by 1 point to almost beating one of the best right there at the end.
Right, and they were close with them. And, you know, they lose to Tennessee. They would have been up, I think, 3 touchdowns, but their running back drops the ball as he's going into the end zone, drops it before he's over the goal line. They have a pass, they intercept, and the cornerback who intercepts it fumbles the ball, goes into the end zone. Tennessee recovers it for a touchdown. Two of the most fluky plays you could ever imagine, they lose that game because of. Otherwise, they're sitting here, they're 3-3. So, yeah, I don't think they're a good team. I certainly don't think they're a playoff team. But, you know, this isn't the Jets. This isn't some, you know, this isn't like a college team where you know you're going to roll them by 4 touchdowns or something like that.
Right.
They've been in every game, really. And coming into this week, I believe they were 4th in the NFL in points per game, giving up like 19 points a game. They played pretty good defensively. It's going to be tough whether Kyler Murray is back. It kind of sounds like he might miss another game, it's a foot injury. But if Brissett's in there, he's going to make it tough. Marvin,
quarterback.
Right. He's been around a long time. It's kind of going to be like Flacco, I think, in a way. Now, Marvin Harrison left with a concussion. So that's one to monitor. And I think obviously that limits their weapons. I mean, for who he has to throw to, but Trey McBride is a really good receiving tight end for them. And you know, Brissett's going to go out there and wing it. It's not going to be. I mean, I hope it's an easy game. I hope I'm wrong, but I think it's going to be another like one of those closer, uglier games that I think the Packers win, but they're going to have to go out there and earn it. And I don't think the Cardinals are going to just show up and roll over for it. Their defense has been in it. They were 2-0, and yeah, you beat the Saints, you beat Carolina, okay. But they lost a close game, 1 point game to the 49ers on the road. They lost a 3 point game to the Seahawks. The fluky loss to Tennessee, a close loss to the Colts. So yeah, they've lost 4 in a row, but they're all close losses. So I don't think all of a sudden Green Bay is going to show up, and you know, the Cardinals are just going to shut it down and not be a competitive team this week. So It's going to be a tougher game, and I know people are going to look at it 2-4. Nobody pays attention to the Cardinals, and they suck and all that. But look below, look at the details of it. They're not quite as bad as 2-4. They played a lot of close games, and they're going to be competitive in this. They're going to give the Packers a tough time.
Yeah, they're definitely going to force that ugly game. I mean, that's kind of been their MO this season. They're not going to get blown out. They're going to force you into a dogfight, good or bad. Yeah. As far as, you know, if you're good or bad. So, yeah, you can't expect the Packers to walk in and crush them here. But I do think that the Packers match up well. You know, there's some good players on the defense for the Cardinals, but that back end is, you know, not great. You got Melton. You got some Melton on Melton action,
Melton
maybe.
Melton on Melton, yeah.
And really the offense doesn't scare me either. I don't look at that and go, gosh, how do you stop these guys, right? I mean, even McBride, right. You should be able to get him lined up with Williams, with Xavier McKinney. I mean, you should be able to contain him, even with your linebackers. You've got athletic linebackers, so you shouldn't – that guy should not beat you, you know, and maybe you want to force them to go through him to beat you. But even Harrison Jr. is not having a great season, man. I mean, I've got him in fantasy football. He's not doing great, you know, and I don't know why. I don't watch a lot of Arizona Cardinals football. But yeah, so I see vulnerabilities in this Cardinals team on both sides of the ball that the Packers should be able to take advantage of. You know, there's looks like they've got a pretty terrible right guard. I don't know what's going on, but he's got a 34 PFF rating, which is not great. So, you know, you've got some opportunities to send your guys through to get Micah Parsons, you know, shooting gaps wherever, whether it's inside, outside. There should be opportunities for these guys. But yeah, you know, you kind of wonder what team you're going to get. And I'm really trying to be optimistic and talk myself into this team's going the right direction. They're making improvements. They're making steps. But show me, right? Like I want to see them come out on offense in this game and look unstoppable. Like look unstoppable. You know, maybe not that you're going to go out and win the game 60-0, but have a couple drives where you just go, holy crap, they can't stop anything. You know, and eventually you're stoppable even when you have those drives. But I want to see those sparks, man. Like I want to see LaFleur set up concepts and take advantage of mismatches in a thought out way. It feels like we haven't seen a lot of that. So that's what I'd like to see. But I do think the Packers should win this game.
Yes. Yeah, so. I agree. But I think the Cardinals are going to make it tough for them. I think they're going to be competitive. But it's one of those games that you hope that second half they can pull away and win it, you know, comfortably. And by comfortably, I don't mean they're going to win by 20 points, but they win it where you're not sweating it out at the end.
Yeah, 10-14 point win. Kind of like what you did with the Bengals, right? It was more of a one possession game, and then you ended up and make it a two possession game. Yeah, I mean that's how I feel about it. I also kind of, and you know, with Brissett, it's a little bit of a wild card, but I feel like this Cardinals offense should not score more than 10 points. You know, and it's kind of how I've felt about a lot of things. To be fair, I totally underestimated the Cowboys. So sorry, Dak Prescott. You know, respect. You're playing great this season. But outside of that, the defense is playing really well. You know, they're not giving up a lot of points. Again, you got the best run defense in the league right now. When you've got the best run defense in the league and you can force teams into being one-dimensional and you have Micah Parsons, like that should be a recipe for success. You should have, like, forcing teams to throw the ball and also having one of the best pass rushers in the league should be a slam dunk, man. But yeah, I mean, the Packers are playing ugly football, so it's probably going to be ugly again. There's going to be things we're frustrated about. LaFleur is going to make calls we hate. And by the way, I'm on the bandwagon of you know, Halfley haters right now. Guy puts ketchup in his coffee, all right? He's a terrible leader. He should not be considered for a head coaching job at all. Just to be clear, I'm not here to give Halfley his flowers. He probably doesn't even like puppies. You know, like he's just not a guy you want leading men. He's just got a lot of good, talented guys that are, you know, making him look good. That's my opinion.
That's right. You leave him alone. Let him stay in Green Bay. That's where he belongs.
Yeah. I mean, he should be forced to stay in Green Bay. Yeah. Learn his lesson, like learn better football, man. Sheesh. Yeah. Study the Packers of the old days. Anyway, not to be distracted here. Let's see here. What's going on down there in the comments? Let's see here. Do you think Matt LaFleur interferes with the defensive coordinator? Now, that is a question. I don't think he does anymore. I think he did with Joe Barry. That's why I was like, sometimes Joe Barry looked good. I think it was because LaFleur was like, hey, man, can you at least pretend to be competent over there? Try this. But, you know, I don't think he's got room to do that with Halfley. I don't detect that relationship.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think he gives him his room to do what he needs to do. I think the Barry thing was, he probably gave Barry room and trusted Barry, and then when he kept seeing the same results over and over again, then probably by the end of Barry's last season, I think he was probably more involved with it. But with Halfley, he sees much better results than they ever saw with Joe Barry, so I think he's probably comfortable mostly leaving him alone now. You know, I'm sure they talk throughout the week about strategy and game plans and stuff like that, and adjustments, but I don't think he's influencing a whole lot. I think he lets Halfley do his job and trust him to do it.
And Chris the Casual in, to answer the tough question, Miles, yes, it will still be ugly.
Well, that's fine then. If you're saying that, then that should be your then you're expecting that. When they do that, then you should be okay with it. Nobody complain next week if they win ugly, because that's what we're expecting. Just as long as they win.
Oh man, as long as they win, that's all that matters. A W goes in the win column. They don't ask how.
Right.
That's all that matters. Now, and I do. I was having this conversation with my dad. We have some good Packers talks. He's under the impression that LaFleur is not giving Rich Bisaccia the players that he wants for special teams. Are you buying or selling that?
So I think there's definitely some truth for that, or there was. And so shout out to Justice Mosqueda, who follows all the special teams and who's playing on which units. He's done a great job. The blocked kicks, the field goals that have been blocked, extra point, a lot of that was because they had backups in there. And they had backups in there because they had so many offensive linemen that were hurt and out of the lineup. So they were playing Musgrave. They had Brant Banks up from the practice squad in the Dallas game. And that's where the blocked extra point came from. And actually, the first kick that wasn't blocked was really close to being blocked.
Yeah.
Same guy screwed it up. They did it the second time it got blocked. They weren't – like Elgton Jenkins hadn't been playing a snap on special teams. After that kick was blocked in Dallas, all of a sudden he's on special teams. He was on special teams against Cincinnati. You saw the change against Cincinnati. Elgton Jenkins was out there. I think Zach Tom was playing on protection units. They were starting – they're now using their offensive linemen, starting offensive linemen to do field goal protection. And they really weren't doing that. Now – is that Bisaccia's decision? Is that LaFleur saying, like, certain guys he wants to protect, he wants to give them the breather, let's go with, you know, our backups? We don't have a really good answer if that's a LaFleur call or a Bisaccia, but it seems like it's more LaFleur, because if it's Bisaccia's call, you got to think, like, Bisaccia's going to want the best players out there as the special teams coach. So, and the other thing that gets me, and I think you and I hit this last week, or 2 weeks ago after the Dallas tie. Why the hell wasn't Keyshawn Nixon back there returning kickoffs when they were trailing in the fourth quarter in overtime?
Right.
And Savion Williams is letting the ball bounce into the end zone, taking him at the 20. Like,
you've got an all-pro returner on your roster. Use him.
Right. And I'm not saying, like, put him back there for every kickoff return. I get he's a starting cornerback and there's the risk of injury, blah, blah, blah. I get that. But when you're, like, second half of a game that you're losing, put him back there. Like, he's better than what Savion Williams is right now. Hopefully Savion Williams one day is a great kickoff returner. He's not yet. Put the guy back there who has a history of being a really good kickoff returner. Like, you're down in a game, you need a return, or it would help you to have a big return. Put him back there. So, like, whose call is that? Is that Bisaccia? Is that a LaFleur thing? I don't know. So your discussion with your dad, like, yeah, I think there's some truth to that, is in that LaFleur, or a combination of LaFleur and Bisaccia, kind of said, like, all right, they map out, here are the guys we're going to use, and these certain starters were not. Well, I think after the block kicks that they've had, it's starting to change, and you're going to see, and you saw it against Cincinnati, more starters playing on those units. So I think they are giving him more players now, Bisaccia. The one spot that I still question is punt return and kick return, but
yeah,
that's an organizational decision.
My confusion in that, and I think you answered it, was, all right, so if you're the head coach and you're going to tell special teams coach, hey, no, we're not using this guy, usually the answer or the reason behind that is you try to protect him, right? Like, you don't want him getting hurt, or you don't want him getting tired because they got to go out on defense or offense next. If it's field goal, there's not a whole lot of risk or, you know, endurance involved in that, right? Like, you're not going out there to run. You're just going out there to get in the stance, take a step, pop a guy, and you're done. And again, it's pretty low risk. You don't see a whole lot of guys getting hurt on those plays. So that was where my question was coming in. It's like, look, all right, if we're talking returner, I get it. You know, you got to protect some guys. But we're talking about this position, which is essentially the second one in, I believe, from the outside tackle on the field goal protection unit, that Musgrave was the guy who screwed up. It's a step block. Like,
yeah.
I don't understand why you would tell the special teams coach, no, you can't have the best guy for that position. We need the backup tight end there. Like, seems like a lame decision to me. But
yeah,
if injuries are the factor, that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think maybe it's, if that's a case where Matt's like, no, I don't want Elton Jenkins, I don't want that Tom or Banks, you know, out there. I don't want those guys out there. It is lame. I kind of get, like, you can still, even though it's kick, you know, field goal protection, extra point protection, like, they could still get rolled up on, hurt a leg, hurt a knee, something like that. They could hurt, like, something. It's not running down. You don't have as much risk. I'm with you on that. But, like, they should be out there. And especially, like, if you had a lot of injuries along the offensive line, but that's even more reason to me than not put Brant Banks out there. Like, he shouldn't be out. You're going to trust the guy just up from the practice squad? Just put Elton Jenkins out there. Like, yeah, you don't want to get anybody else hurt, but, like, you're already shorthanded along the offensive. Now you're making yourself even more shorthanded, going further down the depth chart on kick protection. Like, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. So I haven't seen the answer for that, whether that's a Passaccia call or LaFleur, and I'm sure they're never, like, really come out and give you a straight answer, or LaFleur will just bite the bullet and say, yeah, it's ultimately his decision. And it really is, as the head coach, but it's been changed now. So hopefully they stay with it and they realize it's cost them really two games. And that, you know, and they keep playing the guys that they should be playing, but it should have never got to that point. And that's the kind of stuff that I don't like. And I don't like what they're doing on kick returns or punt returns, especially punt returns with Matthew Golden. Had him back out there again. He made a fair catch around the 10. And then after that, it was just Romeo Doubs back there. Neither one of them should be returning. And I, you know, maybe one day Golden will be a good return guy, but he hasn't made good decisions. He almost got killed in Dallas. With Reed out, I know there's not a great option, and they don't want to use Nixon, but, like, that's then on Goody. Like, go find a punt returner. And I think that's an organizational thing. Like, we don't want to put a roster spot for a guy who's just going to be a return guy. Well, when it's hurting you like it has, maybe you should. And they were better on kickoff returns yesterday. Williams had a nice return. Bo Melton had a nice return, so maybe Bo Melton's going to factor in too. But, yeah, it's just, I mean, Savion Williams letting the ball continually bounce into the end zone in Dallas and not fielding it to take it out of the, you know, the, whatever they call it, the kicking area where you have to return it from. Like, that can't happen. Not using Keyshawn Nixon, like, use your better players as returners. Like, I just don't get it. And if go get a punt return. Like, you had Mecole Hardman in the practice squad. I guess they didn't see enough to like it. But, yeah, it's really confusing. And I think it's – the return thing, I think, is an organizational decision, and it's a Goody thing. But as far as, like, who's playing is on the units itself, that's Passaccia and LaFleur, and I'm – hopefully they got the kick protection figured out after, you know, the two disasters that they've had with the block kicks.
Yeah, I mean, is it a priority or not? You know, we fence, right? Isn't that what they call it? It's like, this is part of the game. It's like all that kind of stuff. Whatever. None of that means anything if you can't even put your best players on the unit. You know, again, I understand protecting some guys. But when you're... I mean, you can objectively say that the field goal blocks are the reasons that they lost and tied, right? I mean, just from a numbers perspective, if those things don't happen, you are an undefeated team right now. So I sure hope it's changed, but it's kind of wild to me, especially a team that lost in the playoffs because of bad special teams. right? Like, it's not like this is a new thing. Oh, I didn't know our special teams was bad. Like, I'm used to having good special teams. No, they've been bad
for a long time.
If you're going to go out here and act like you're prioritizing, like, prioritize it, you know? Now you're losing games because of it again. And it's just, that's the part to me that's very frustrating. And I guess we'll never get to know the order of it, but there's an accountability failure somewhere. It's either LaFleur or it's Bisaccia. We don't get to know which one. By default, we push everything. You know, the buck stops at LaFleur, right? So if Bisaccia is making mistakes over and over again and doesn't get fired, it's LaFleur's fault. You know, you'd like to see Bisaccia not make mistakes over and over again. But if he's, if the seemingly, you know, the apparent mistakes that he's making are not actually his fault, they're somebody else's fault, well, there's another accountability issue, right? It kind of goes back to LaFleur then. It's like, hey, man, so you're the reason special teams are really bad? Cut it out. Stop it. Like, what are you doing? Right. You know, so I don't know. It's frustrating to hear these guys say things, oh, three phases of the game and whatnot, and then see a clear deprioritization of a certain phase of the game that can cause you to lose the game. That is frustrating. So I guess maybe to bring this episode full circle, if you're a frustrated Packers fan watching these games and not liking how they're winning these ugly games, I get it. I get it. I totally see it. And that's a phase of it for sure. But it's also, I think the other part that's so frustrating is it's so fixable. Not that I know exactly who you should hire, but LaFleur has already demonstrated that he can hire well. He can hire good coaches when he tries, right? It's just whenever he wants to give his boy a shot that he doesn't deserve, that's when the Packers get the raw end of the deal. But if he goes off and tries to hire a halfly quality coordinator at special teams, which, again, I remember Bisaccia was supposed to be that. He's supposed to be the best special teams coordinator in the league and all that. I don't think he is. Doesn't mean he's not good. I don't think he's the best at this point. If you're the best, the Packers wouldn't be the worst. But go find somebody else who is of that quality and plug that person in on special teams coordinator and plug that person in and an offensive coordinator position. Just lift the quality of your personnel in the building and get out of their way. You know, the question earlier was, do you think that LaFleur gets in the way of the defensive coordinator? No, I don't. But I do think he probably could get in the way of the special teams coordinator. And there's no doubt he's in the way of the offensive coordinator. And I'm not saying that in defense of the offensive coordinator. There's just no doubt that it's his offense and they're going to run things his way. So it seems obvious. It seems like you can do this. You've shown us you can do this. You're not doing this. Why aren't you doing this? This is frustrating. Now we're losing games because you aren't doing this. What are we doing here? At that point, that's where I think we go look at Mr. Ed Policy and go, maybe it makes sense why he didn't extend LaFleur and Goody before the season, right? You know, like I come back around to that. At first, I was like, I wasn't really into that headline. I really wasn't. It seemed to make sense to me that, you know, he's just stepped into the president's role. He'd give him a minute to evaluate something before he makes decisions about who his head coach and GM will be for the foreseeable future. And, you know, maybe he knows a little something about LaFleur and he's testing him right now to see how that goes. I don't know. There's a lot of speculation we can do from this side of the tracks, but there's still an accountability failure somewhere. I don't know where it is, but it's somewhere. And that's what I smell. And that's like, again, with the special teams, it's like, it seems fixable. Like your returners, your field goal block unit, like whoever it is, if you're the head coach telling the special teams coordinator he can't have the best players, like, what are you about? Are you not about giving yourself the best chance to win? Seems like a problem, man. Like, it's a fundamental failure right there that you're like willing to deprioritize a unit to the point that that unit is causing you to lose games. Like, not good. Not good decision making. But hopefully that has changed, right? We saw it lose. You lost two games because of it. Or, well, you lost one, tie one. And so we think maybe things have changed. You go in, you have to get a kicker off the street, and it worked. You didn't get anything blocked. Okay, very good. Let's see if it keeps going. And then, you know, I'm damn near inclined to believe that LaFleur was getting in the way. And hopefully he had his wake-up call and said, hey, you know, let Richie B do what he does. If he's the best special teams coach in the league, let me see it. Give him the players he needs and let me see him do his thing. But I don't know, man. We got, let's see here, our showers with the last comment. DL coach, O-line coach, linebacker coach, a lot of question marks there. New D-line coach at least seems okay-ish so far. Let's not forget the linebacker coach that they had last season who is now a defensive coordinator, a pretty effective one, Mr. Campanelli. So he's shown you that he can hire good coaches. He can. He can do it. You just need him to do that only. And again, stop with these charitable handouts. But you know what? I'm gonna put my optimistic hat back on. I think things get better. I think things get better against the Cardinals. Get your score predictions in, guys. Shoot us your scores. What do we got here? I'm going to ride the optimistic wave. I think they did improve in a lot of ways against the Bengals. I thought the play calling was definitely better. It still left me frustrated at times, but it was definitely better for sure. So, yeah, I think they continue this momentum. I think they get a two-score win here. Let's call it 34-20, even though I think they shouldn't score more than 10. They probably will. So, yeah, 34-20. That's what I think we got. Packers win. What do you think, Tim?
Is that an ugly 34-20 or is that a pretty 34-20?
No, that's an ugly 34-20. Okay. You know, you probably get a late touchdown that makes that a little bit bigger of a gap than you know it was for most of the game. But I ultimately think they should be able to win this one by two scores.
Well, they've won three games this year and they've scored 27 points in all three of them. So I'm going to pick them to score 27 points and win again. I have a 27-20 Packers. And I know people are going to complain because they only beat the Cardinals by 7 points. But I'll take the win. I think they're going to win. I want to see a more complete game from the defense. We haven't seen that the last couple of weeks. Maybe the turnovers start this week. But even still, I want to see a complete game from the defense and the offense. Looks like we got the run game, hopefully headed in the right direction after the second half in Dallas and yesterday against the Bengals. So continue with the run game. Like, I got to get that churn and health along the offensive line. And can we get Tucker Kraft the ball more?
Like, yes.
It drives me nuts. Like, they always forget about it. Like, doesn't seem like it's a priority to get the ball to Tucker Kraft. And I don't know why, because he'll catch a dump off pass and run over six guys. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, this guy's really good. Maybe we should throw him the ball more. Like, that should be a priority every game. And I'm not saying he's got to catch 10 passes every week, but like, you got to try to get him involved early, try to get him going. He's that good of a tight end where you need to start feeding him more than the hour. Hopefully that this is the week and they can start doing that more.
Breakout game.
But yeah, I think they're going to win. I don't think it's going to be a blowout or, you know, what everybody wants, but I think they're going to win again. I'll say 27-20.
Well, if they win by 7 points, it would be their largest margin of defeat on the season. It's currently, they have lost to the 49ers by 1 point, the Seahawks by three, the Titans by one, and the Colts by four. So, yeah, we get a 7-point, you know, victory here. Then that's the worst loss of the Cardinal season, you know. So you get a 2-touchdown victory like I'm asking for, then man, that's a statement right there. But we don't need to be talking about statement wins right now. Just win,
baby.
And that's what our showers has. At the end of the day, just as real as it gets over here, Packers 23-20. He thinks it's going to be ugly. It's going to be close, but damn it, they're going to pull it out. All right. Nobody else got in their predictions. So, R. Showers, you are the lone prediction tonight in the comment section, 23-20. We'll take it. I'm calling a 2-score win. Tim's calling a 1-score win. We're calling it wins, dubs for the Packers. Wins. We always do dubs for the Packers on the show. Nobody picks against the Packers. We just don't do it. Come on, get out of here. All right. I think that's it, you know. So, if y'all had fun with us tonight, want to support the pod, please spike that like button. Most importantly, though, jump on over to the Packers Talk Network YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button. It is a big helper for us. We would love to get to 1,000 subscribers. We're very close. You could be part of the journey. Just go make that little click of the button. Doesn't cost you any money. It's free. It's totally free. You just subscribe and YouTube tells you when these two cheddarheads are ready to talk. But we're talking every Monday night, 9:30 p.m. Central. Talking pack, nothing else. Keeping it real. And hopefully dissecting a beautiful win against the Arizona Cardinals next Monday night. Come hang out with us either way. You might need to let out some steam. You might be very upset about a coach. You know, you just never know. Gotta let it out. Come on, let's do it. You want to celebrate? We're going to do that too. We'll do it all. But most importantly, Packers fans, we're going to have fun watching the Pack this week because that's what we love to do. And of course, as always, go Pack.